and we always look forward to such times together, and certainly today is one of them. We love to come together and worship God together as a family of God, and that's always a privilege and a prayer. I have several devices attached to me. I'm trying to get those worked out, and I want to try to have an overhead projector lesson today. So I appreciate those working in the room back there, and I hope they can cover whatever mistakes I make. We are certainly thankful to God for all of His wonderful blessings, and I failed to get to Ben some announcements. I need to ask him or continue to remind us about. Connie Jones is wanting to have the ladies to meet this evening after the evening services in conjunction with our planning session. We want to get as many ideas from you ladies that we can. So we will. Ladies, please plan on being here this evening to stay just a few minutes after services and discuss some ideas and things that you can do to help us in the planning session. So we appreciate Connie wanting to do that. Also, I don't mean to embarrass him, but Brother Cody Straub received a high honor this past week, earning a top score of 100. You can't get any better than that, can you? Top score of 100 in the whole state of Ohio on the Resident Educator Summative Assessment. And so he received an award from the Superintendent of Public Instruction of Ohio. So we want to congratulate Cody and appreciate him. So, you know, the Bible says when our brothers and sisters rejoice, that we should rejoice. And also to mourn when they mourn. So we're thankful that we can encourage these good works. And as Brother Brad prayed in his prayer, we're also so thankful for Anya and her being cancer-free at this time. So we rejoice in so many different ways, and we're thankful for that. Good to have Dale and Angie with us. Next time he sneaks in, we just have him preach. You know, you can't let a preacher off the hook. You got to put him to work. So we're glad to have them. And that big grin on Paul's face is because he's got those grandkids around him this week. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of how to make decisions. How to make decisions. You know, life is full of decisions. And sometimes these decisions that we learn to make or try to learn to make are not always easy. You know, the Bible does not give us a thou shalt or a thou shalt not for everything in life. So sometimes we have questions as to, well, how do I know that this is the right way or the right thing to do? The Bible gives us some indications about that as well. And so in Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 7. Now, this context is talking about those who have been drinking alcohol. And it says they err in vision and they stumble in judgment. Well, that's right. If a drunk person could see straight, he could walk straight, right? Well, the same is true in life. If you and I will learn to have the proper decision-making facility and faculties, then that's going to make our life a whole lot better. And so just as a drunkard will stumble in judgment and have his vision off, sometimes in life our vision can be off because of things that we really don't know how to make the right decision. Our vision, however, determines our decisions. If I see life correctly, if I look at life correctly, I'm going to make better decisions. And so I want you to think with me on this line this morning. In 1908, Pop Warner was coaching the Carlisle team when they were playing a game against Syracuse. And Pop Warner decided that he was going to sort of manipulate the rules a little bit. He had someone to sew onto their jersey footballs so that when they came to the line or the quarterback had the ball and was handed off, they would all to make this motion and The defense didn't know who had the ball sometimes. Well, while there's no rule against that per se, Pop Warner and that team violated the principle of fair play. And so they couldn't do that, and they were told to change the jerseys, and they had to do that. You know, sometimes in life, Christians and others seem to want a rule for everything. If I don't have a rule for it, I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to decide. But you know, sometimes the Bible teaches us that there are principles that can help guide us in making decisions. In our text that Brother Doug read a moment ago, Paul said that I want to talk to you like you're mature Christians, but I can't. And the reason being, one of the reasons was, these were the kind of people that were constantly arguing over rules. Where's the rule for this? Where's the rule for that? You know, children are like that sometimes. You watch children playing around on the playground, and it won't be very long before one of them says, "That's not fair." They want rules. They need those as children. But parents, hopefully, as we teach our children, we're also establishing within them good principles so that when they get out in life and there's not a rule for this or that, they may have some good, solid, guiding principles that will help them in their decision-making process. And so I want to suggest six things this morning to you in regards to this. We're going to look at the six E's. Ben makes fun of me all the time. The six C's of Christ. The four D's of... I'm so old, it helps me to kind of remember these things if I will do it in this fashion. Let's look at some things that will help us in our decision-making process in our life. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians, the chapter 6 through 10. Obviously, we're not going to read all of that. But we'll notice certain things within those chapters that give us these good, solid principles of making good, solid decisions. Number one, I want you to think about the principle of expediency. If you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, or chapter 6. We'll start there in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. Where Paul says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." What does he mean by that? How do you know when you make up your mind that you've made the right decision? Is it right? First of all, you have to ask, is it lawful? I mean, sometimes they're just clear-cut answers to it. No, we can't do that. Yes, you should be doing that. But he said that sometimes things are not expedient. What does the word expedient mean? It's a word that means helpful. To be helpful. To help us carry out this thing. The idea here is bringing you toward a destination, helping you along. For example, if I'm to travel to Florida, it's expedient to maybe ride in a jet. It's helpful. I'd rather do that than walk, you see. There are some things that are more expedient than other things. And so Christians, we all need to have God-given goals. And these goals in life are going to help us to get to heaven. And so when I come to a decision in my life and there's really not a yes or a no to it, I have to ask myself, well, does God's Word have anything to say on it, first of all? Is it lawful? But then will it help me in my God-given goals? You remember in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8, Daniel had a goal in mind that while he was down in captivity, he said, I purposed in my heart that I would not defile myself. Therefore, when the king offered him to drink this alcoholic drink and to eat certain meats from the king's table, Daniel said, that's not expedient for me to carry out my God-given goals. And so he refused it. You see, it might have been lawful to eat it, but it wasn't helpful in his walk in life. And so when faced with these decisions, ask yourself some questions. Will this that I'm about to do help me in my goals for God? Or will it hinder my goals for God? You know, Yogi Berra, now for you young folks, that's not the cartoon character. He was a catcher for the Yankees for years. He always had these funny statements. He said this, "Be careful if you don't know where you're going because you might get there." Well, that's right. Where are we trying to get as Christians? Obviously to heaven. And so whatever might help me to do that, I can participate in that. But if something is hindering my travel, it's not a part of my goal in life, then I need to think seriously about that and probably not do it. And so the principle of expediency. There's another one that we want to look at. And that is, if I can get this to work. Yes. Computers are supposed to be so much better. There's the principle of enslavement. Look at chapter 6, verse 12 again. We're looking at the second portion of that verse. Paul says, "All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any or anything." Now this term, to be brought under the power, means I will not be enslaved by something, whatever it might be. I will not allow it to enslave me. You remember what Jesus said in John 8, 34? Jesus says that if we sin, or whosoever continues in sin, they're the slave of sin. And so whatever it might be, I need to make sure that it is not something that has entrapped me, taken over. I'm obsessed with it. I'm enslaved by it. You know, the unsaved person brags all the time about how that they don't have to go to church. They're so free to just live their life. But you know what? They are not free to live as they ought to live. And there's the difference. You see, they might have the ability and freedom to choose actions, but they can't choose the consequences of those actions. A child of God understands that we are not to be brought under the power or the influence of anything that would take us away from our goals. And so, Jesus came along and wanted to free us from all these entanglements. And so, if you are a slave, maybe to sports, maybe to nicotine, maybe to recreation, whatever it might be, don't allow that to entrap you. Jesus said in John 8 and 36, "If the Son of Man shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." In Romans chapter 6, beginning there at verse 17, Paul said, "That God be thanked, you were the servants of sin." You see that enslavement? "But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, and then being made free from sin." The child of God is not enslaved to anything on this earth other than serving God. We're to be the slaves of God and Christ. But yet the world wants to enslave us in so many other ways. And so when it comes to making decisions, I need to ask myself, it might be lawful, but might it enslave me, entrap me, hold me back from my God-given goals? Then there's another principle involved, and that's the principle of example. If you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 8. And there we're going to begin in verse number 8. Paul says, "But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, and neither if we don't eat are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty or freedom of yours becomes a stumbling block to those that are weak. For if any man see that which has knowledge," you know, they, in chapter 8 and verse 1, both sides of this issue that we're going to talk about claim to have certain knowledge in the situation. But Paul says, look, don't let that knowledge go to your head, so to speak. "For if any man sees that which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you sin so against the brethren, you wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if meat makes my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world stands, lest my brother be not offended. The Corinthians had this problem of pagan idolatry just literally everywhere. And oftentimes they would offer these sacrifices to these idols. Paul says the meat's good, it's good meat. And it would be sold, these excess meats would be sold in markets. And the price was reduced because it had been used in a sacrifice or in a worship to an idol. Paul's point is, look, the meat is okay. There's nothing wrong with eating the meat. However, I cannot use that liberty that I have to eat the meat if it is not setting the proper example for my brother. What if I cause him to think it's okay, therefore, to associate the idol with the meat and begin idol worship? Paul says, I have to understand that whether or not you have a yes or no on this, and Paul says, really, there's not a yes or no on whether the meat is good. It doesn't matter. You're not going to be worse off. You're not going to be better off. But he says, if it's an example that causes my brother to stumble, he says, I will not do it. And so Paul is explaining that no Christian, therefore, ought to make decisions until they understand the example that it sets forth. So the principle here is not, will this hurt me, but rather, will my decision hurt others? And so in the decision-making process as a child of God, I can't just think of myself. I've got to think of you. I've got to think of those around me. Will this be a good or a bad example? Another principle in making decisions that helps us to stop and think a moment about what we're doing. And it sometimes will clear up these gray areas of life if I think about the example that it might set. I remember back in 1990, I think it was, going hunting in Carroll County, Mississippi. Used to hunt deer at a deer camp. One of our preacher friends had a deer camp. And we'd go down there and spend a few days. And I noticed that the deer camp, we were invited to go down there on a Saturday and a Sunday, the weekend. Well, that Sunday morning, the preacher friend and I got up and we went to church. We weren't going to be out there in a deer stand on the Lord's Day. And we felt like that was setting a good example. One of the fellows who wasn't a churchgoer that was there said, what are y'all doing? You're wasting your time. You could have had this deer. Well, we just feel like that we need to be setting a good example. Not wrong to hunt, but it is wrong if it might set the wrong example. And so we come out of the field and we go to worship God. There's another principle that is involved here, and that is the principle of edification. I want you to turn now to chapter 10 and verse number 23. I have it on the board, but let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. Paul says, all things are lawful, but all things do not edify me. Not everything that we do is edifying. And of course, we understand the word edify means to build up. And so before you engage in some activity, you have to ask yourself, will this encourage me? Will it build me up in Christ, or will it tear me down? Will it cause me to get further away from Christ if I engage in it? You see, sometimes there just is not a black and white, perhaps, answer that we want. But these principles can help us and guide us in making such decisions. How will this affect me? In Acts the 20th chapter, verse 32, Paul says, now I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. You see, folks, a real friend is one that when you hang around with them, They make you a better person. But if you're hanging around someone that's making you to become more bitter, maybe more discouraged, we need to ask ourselves, is this someone I need to be hanging around with? Is this situation that I'm in something that's going to encourage others? So no matter what it might be, whether it be entertainment, recreation, and sometimes our recreation and entertainment is becoming so much more worse, it seems, in our country. But yet I must ask myself, does this activity that I'm thinking about, does it degrade me? Does it debase me? Or does it lift me up? Does it lift up those around about me? That is a very important principle that the Apostle Paul is setting forth. You know, in our day and age, holy things are being laughed at. Good things that we uphold as church activities are being mocked. You know, Steve mentioned this morning about how the world perceives us. It's foolishness to the world. But we don't care. We don't go by the world's standard. We're not to be conformed to this world, Romans 12 and 2. And so Paul warns us that there are some forms of recreation that might be lawful, but are they edifying? Will they build me up and the cause of Christ up as well? And so the principle of edification, I need to think about that in my decision-making live and daily. Then there is the principle of exaltation. If you will, turn with me there in chapter 10 again, and verse 31, where the Apostle Paul talks about whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. In other words, this decision that I'm about to make, is it going to exalt Christ? Will it lift up Christ in my life and in the eyes of those around about me? If what I'm about to participate in does not honor Christ, I cannot participate in that. And so that sort of makes the world look at us rather oddly. You know, Peter talked about how that folks will not understand why you don't participate in certain things. It's because we go by these great godly principles of life. Yes, the Bible doesn't tell us yes or no to every situation. But these guiding principles are so important. Everything you do, now think about it. Everything you do either exalts Christ or it degrades Christ. There's no middle ground with Him. He said, you are putting me first or I'm not that important. And so in my principled decision-making process, every conversation, every transaction, every vacation, every TV program, I need to ask myself, does this bring glory to Christ? If it does not, I need to reconsider, because others certainly are watching. Colossians 3:17, we've been emphasizing this on Wednesdays. Whatsoever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And so sometimes even our clothing, the Bible says, therefore, I want you to dress modestly. You see, whatever we do, it either exalts or it degrades Christ. And that's an important part of making good decisions. Then finally, there's the last principle I want to talk about, and that's the principle of evangelism. If you'll go with me again to chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. It's probably a little small on your screen there, but Paul says there in verses 32 and 33, give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not pleasing my own profit, but for the profit of many, that they may be saved. The last principle that I want to mention is this principle. If anything we do, listen now, if anything that you participate in or do keeps you or others from Christ, you can't do it. You can't do it. You know, the Bible uses terms sometimes unlike how we use them in our everyday language. We talk about things that are good. What do we mean, things that are good? Jesus said only God is good. And so in that sense, really nothing is good but God. But yet the point is this. Anything that brings me closer to God, that's good. Anything that puts me farther away from God, the Bible says that's evil. That's wrong. And so, folks, whatever it is, everything that we do, we have to think about how this will affect others. Real quickly, we're going to finish on this, but I'd like for you to turn with me to chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. And let's begin there at verse 19. Let's read a few verses together. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free among all men, yet have made myself a servant unto all, that I may gain the more. You see, Paul said, whatever I do, I'm trying to win people to Christ. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by some means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you. What is he saying? He's saying, I have kept this principle of evangelism all of my life. Paul wanted to be pleasant to everyone that he could so that someone might come to Christ. And so, folks, as I close, I want you to think about it very, very seriously. Everyone you meet, everyone that you know in your life, at work, at home, wherever, we ought to be trying our best to bring them closer to Christ. Whatever that is. Paul says if it means you have to be weak, help them out. You're going to help that weak brother. Now that doesn't mean that Paul suddenly has become spiritually weak. But what it does mean is he is able to identify. He's able to get where people are, roll up his sleeves, and to help them become children of God. You know, when Jesus was baptized, only sinners need to be baptized. Why was Jesus baptized? He wasn't a sinner. Oh, the Bible says to fulfill all righteousness. Well, what does that mean? What it means, or at least part of it is included in, when you and I are baptized into Christ, we identify with Him. And He, when He was baptized, He identified Himself with sinful man. He was not a sinner, but He had to identify Himself as if He was a sinner. If you'd been walking through Jerusalem the day Jesus was crucified and you saw those three men hanging on a cross, you'd have thought, well, I guess they're getting what they deserve. But there was one on there that didn't deserve that. But he identified with sinful men. Why did he have to do that? 1 Timothy 2:5 says he had to be our mediator. In order to be a mediator, he had to be able to identify with sinful men and not sin at the same time because he's God on earth. And so when you and I identify with people around us, we do not compromise truth. But we need to learn to be patient with them, understanding that some might be more weak and more strong and might be on different levels as far as their progress. But the principle of evangelism has got to always be our focus. And so, as I think about these things, rather than always looking for a rule, let us learn to apply these principles. And there are others I don't have time to go into right now. So that we'll be able to make these good, great decisions in our life. And if you'll do that, if you and I will start to understand that the Bible is not just a book of thou shalt and thou shalt nots, it's also a book of principles and guiding instructions in life. If you and I will do that, one day we're going to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The song has been selected. How can we encourage you today to become a Christian? Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. Maybe you have obeyed the gospel, but yet you maybe have forgotten or not been living by these good principles, and you have in some way perhaps need to come back to the Lord. Whatever it might be, however we can help you, I hope that you'll think seriously about these things. Because it means so much to Christ, and Christ means so much to us. When my dad passed away in 1996, had his funeral in Columbus, I remember them coming to the family and saying, perhaps, hey, we have a floral arrangement, like a blanket, that we could give you at half price to spread over your father's casket. Imagine what us six kids thought about that. No, Dad is too special to have a used floral blanket. We appreciate it, but he means too much to us. When it comes to our relationship to Christ, folks, he has to mean everything, or else he means nothing. It's all or nothing with him. He said, you are either for me or against me. There's no middle ground. And so in our life, maybe there's someone here today that's kind of been in that middle ground. You've really not committed yourself to him. You've not turned against him. But maybe your commitment has not been what it ought to be. If we can encourage you, if we can help you, we'd love to pray for you as a member of the church. If you need to be baptized into Christ, we're ready to do that as well. But maybe you just need to study or however we can help you. As we sing this song, won't you please come as we stand and as we sing.